Good to see you, and so glad that you are here today. If you're here for the first time, just want to welcome you. My name is Kyle Mills. I'm the lead pastor here, and so we're just so honored to have you with us today. Also, real honored to have all those that are watching online with us today. Come on, Elevate City. Can we welcome all those watching online with us today as well? Yep. Merry Christmas to you as well that are watching, and man, just so thankful for today and just what God is doing, and we had a great first service, and man, how many just appreciate our worship team, amen, did a great job, amen, and so man, they work hard through all three services, there's no doubt about that, and so look at the person next to you and say, hey, you look a lot better this Christmas than you did last Christmas, come on, let them know they're improving. Yeah, awesome. Well, just before we get in the message today, we've got at the end of the service today, I want to make sure that you know that we will have our candlelight experience. Honestly, one of my favorite things that we do during our Christmas services. We'll end with that and a beautiful song. Melissa on our team that sings did such a great job singing A Silent Night. And so just know that's at the end of service today. And so glad to have some of my family with me today. All you guys, come on, my family. They're special to me. So glad they're here. And my mom and my stepdad somewhere as well. I don't know if they're here yet, but I'm glad to have. They came in from Columbus, and so love my family, and I thank God for all of you. That's for sure. And so, but just before we get started, I just thought, man, I'd share a little joke. I mean, like a good joke, all right? And that's just kind of me. Three of you like a good joke, all right? Well, hopefully the rest of you will like a good joke, all right? But I want to introduce you just for a moment to a guy by the name of Boudreaux. All right, everybody say Boudreaux. Yeah, Boudreaux, he's a good old boy from Southeast Louisiana, all right? And so Boudreaux is, as he's from Southeast Louisiana, he's always got some interesting stories to his life. Now, I've got a lot of Cajun friends, all right, that live in Louisiana. And so I feel like I have some of that working with me. And so they've introduced me and some of my pastor friends as well. And so I love Boudreaux, love the jokes. And so I think you'll like it, but he's got a best friend named Thibodeau. And so that's the Cajun thing. Those are real names down in Louisiana, all right? And so, but back when Hurricane Katrina had happened there in Louisiana, a lot of people had lost their jobs. And so for those that had lost their jobs and didn't have anything, they would go to LSU, the Louisiana State Unemployment Office, all right? Not Louisiana State University. All right, anyways, there's a little joke for those that are like college football. All right, but the government, what they would do is they would give checks that were based upon the job experience that you had. And so Boudreaux and Thibodeau decided it was time for them to go to the LSU office there. And so Boudreaux went in first, and they said, well, Boudreaux, they said, what you did, because based upon what you did is what you're going to get as far as your pay every single week. And so Boudreaux said, I stitched the underwear at the lady underwear factory is what I did. That's exactly what I did. And they said, oh, wow. I said, well, that was a good job. They said, well, you qualify for $100 a week. And he said, man, you mean I don't even have to work for any of that? He said, no, you don't have to work for any of that. You're just going to get that $100 a week, and that's what you're going to get. And so Thibodeau was next, and so Thibodeau came in, and they said, well, Thibodeau, what you did? He said, well, I was a diesel fitter. He said, oh, wow, that diesel fitter, that's an important job. It's a hard job. You're going to qualify for $300 a week. And Boudreaux said, wait a minute, man. He said, that ain't fair. Thibodeau and I work at the same place. They said, oh, you do? Yeah, Boudreaux said, well, I stitch them up, and then Thibodeau, he stretches them this way and that way and says, diesel fitter. That's funny. I don't care what you say. That's funny right there. Oh, man, that's funny. I'm working on more Boudreaux material, Elevate City. I know it's been a while since I've told a Boudreaux, so glory to God. But anyways, here's what I know about Christmas, man. Christmas is honestly one of my favorite times of the year and enjoy these times so much. But I also realize it can be a very difficult time for people. We've been in a series called It's a Wonderful Life. And how many have ever seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life? It's a great one. If you've not seen it, typically it always comes usually on Christmas Eve. And so tomorrow you'll be able to watch that, usually on ABC. But one of my favorites. And so kind of the idea kind of came from that. But if you've ever seen the movie, and George Bailey, who's my favorite in that movie, and then Clarence, his guardian angel, George was in a place where he just felt like life wasn't worth living anymore, and he wanted to throw himself off of a bridge. But God intervened, and he sends Clarence, the angel, to really kind of help save the day and to help him to see and walk with him throughout this movie of realizing really how much of value his life had and to not throw away his life. And so, and really, even though that was a movie, I think that really speaks true for many of us sometimes, that we can sometimes hit seasons in our life where we feel like the only option is to quit. But to realize, and through this series is what we've been talking about, that God has so much plans, and he's got so many plans, and he's got so much purpose for our life, and to realize that God values you and that he saw you and I worth dying for. And so that's kind of been the heart of this series, but also the other part that we've been talking about is the power of peace. The power of peace. And so I want to read a couple scriptures with you, and I'm going to do just a quick review just to kind of help if you've missed the last few weeks. And you can always go online. You can watch the messages online. But Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, it says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rest.'" So in week number one, we learned, and the subject was just on living a life with meaning, to know that your life is, there is no accidents with God, that God knows exactly what he's doing, that you are an original, and that he's placed within you incredible purpose. But one of the points that I gave, and I think maybe one of the most important points of that particular message, was living with eternity in mind. And so that comes from the scripture here in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that says, "Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time." And look at this. He has planted eternity in the heart of man. In other words, this is what God was saying, that I have purposely placed eternity in your heart so that you would be thinking about what comes after this life, that you would be thinking about the impact that you would have while you're still on this earth. Because here's the reality for all of us is we have one life. You can spend your life any way that you want, but you and I only get one shot at this on this earth. And so we talked about living with eternity in mind, to know that we're not living forever on this earth. Can you say a good amen today? And so that we live with eternity in mind, to know that we're called to make an impact right where we're at and to do with what God has called us to do and then go make a difference in the lives of other people. And then last week, man, we had some church last week. Man, I'm telling you, last week, all three services was powerful. And if you were here, I want to encourage you, man. You know what I'm talking about. If you missed it, you got to make sure you watch it. And I don't know that I've gotten more feedback on a particular message like we did last week. I mean, I got so much feedback, I thought about retiring after last Sunday. I mean, it was just amazing. And so, but man, we had church. God moved in a powerful way in all three services. And we talked about the war within. And I think, again, I think in this time of Christmas, you know, again, it can be a tough time for people. And I don't think it's Christmas that does that or the month of December. I think it just reveals kind of really what's already there, that we seem to be a little bit more aware of maybe some of the relational struggles or the financial struggles, or maybe it's a physical struggle that you're facing, that we just kind of come into that place. And we struggle sometimes with the war within. And I don't know if you know what I'm talking about today, but really just at a place that you have no peace, that it seems like there's always constantly something going on, and I'm just living life, I'm just kind of going through life, and I'm just in this survival mode. But can I just tell you that God has more for your life than you and I just staying stuck in survival mode? And we learned that in week number one as well, that God didn't call you and I just to survive and just to take up some occupancy on this earth or to take up some oxygen and then just go, you know, and head into eternity. No, the plan for God for us is that he would equip us and empower us with what he's placed on the inside of us and then go make a difference with our life for the glory of God. Amen? And so we talked about that. And two of the questions that I just kind of proposed to us last week that was, it was just on my mind thinking so much the previous week was these two questions. Why do we only rest in peace? Why don't we live in peace? Maybe you've been to a funeral, to a service, and you've heard them say, man, you know, rest in peace. Can I just tell you, I don't want to wait till my last breath to enter peace. I believe God has peace for me today to live in. So I'm not interested in just waiting on peace until I die. Come on, somebody. And so God has this for us today and wants us to experience that. John 14:27, Jesus said it this way. He said, "I'm leaving you with a gift." This is a pretty awesome gift that he promises. He said, "Peace of mind and heart Because he knew the tension was going to be there. That the struggle that you and I are going to constantly battle with is the battle of what goes on within our mind and the issues of life that come from out of our heart. And Jesus is saying, I want to give you a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. And then we talked about how you cannot have peace without being a peacemaker. In Matthew 5, 9, Jesus said, blessed, that word blessed in the Greek literally just means happy. Blessed or happy are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And peacemakers, here's who peacemakers are. Peacemakers are those who make the decision that I'm going to reconcile. And that word reconcile just literally means bringing the balance to zero. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't come to resolve our sin. He came to reconcile them. That's why I believe conflict resolution rarely works. You have to have a time of true reconciliation. And Jesus, we learned this last week, he wants us to live in the ministry of reconciliation to other people. And so there is no peace without you being a peacemaker. And here's just one of the kind of the prevailing thoughts of the day that we talked about last week, that the lack of peace in our life is often an indicator of things that are not submitted to God or not surrendered to God. And so we find ourselves in a place of almost constant battle. And we're fighting things. But what we need to realize that the constant war within and that struggle is a reality, and it should be a red flag for us that there are things in my life that are not submitted to God. And so therefore, I'm operating on my feelings, which your feelings will lie to you. I'm operating and can off my emotions, which your emotions will lead you in a wrong direction. Those things will lead us, man, you never want to make decisions when you're highly emotional or the feelings are strong, because it'll lead you down a path that is not safe. And honestly, that's a big part of what we talked about last week and just answering, why don't we have peace, and so how do we get it? But today, I wanted to talk to you just on the subject of just knowing the true Prince of Peace, who is Jesus. How do we live this out, and how do we continue to walk this out before the Lord? And so I want to talk to you about something that I think is pretty cool. As I was going back through notes and study this week, that a prophecy that actually happened 700 years before the birth of Christ. I think this is really cool. And by the way, just so you know, there were 300 prophecies in the Old Testament, and Jesus fulfilled every one of those prophecies to the very detail. To the very detail, and all came true. And so there's what is called a quantitative analysis. And really what that is it's formulas to figure out probabilities. And so listen to this. The chances of one person fulfilling just 8 of these is 10th to the 17th power. All right. If you're not a mathematician like me, you'll need some help like me. All right. And so how many know, man, I worked hard for my C's in school. Come on, somebody. Yeah, worked hard for them. How many know what I'm talking about? And so 10th to the 17th power, in other words, here's what that means. It's one in a quadrillion chance of somebody being able to fulfill 8 of the 300 prophecies, but yet Jesus fulfilled all 300. That's why he is the real king, everybody. Jesus is the real deal. Look at the person next to you and say, oh yeah, he's the real deal. He's the real deal. It's who he is, for real. All right, and so a familiar verse I want to read to you. One of my favorite ones to read during this Christmas season is out of Isaiah 9 in verse 6. It says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Everybody say Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace in the Hebrew is the word Sar Shalom. So if you're following along in our notes inside your worship guide, you can jot this down. That Sar literally means the one in charge, means Lord, means chief, means general. I love this. Sar is prince. It's where we get the word from the Romans, the Caesar part. It names like Julius Caesar, names like Augustus Caesar. It's where we get that from. But it's more than prince. It literally means Lord. That's who he is. Sar Shalom. And then the Shalom part means, and maybe you've heard that, but Shalom means rest. It means tranquility. It means wholeness. It means completeness. And it means contentment. The word literally means, listen to some of these meanings, it means captain, that he's the Lord of rest, general of tranquility, chief of wholeness, Lord of contentment. That's why Jesus personalized it when he said, this is my peace that I'm giving you. All right, so I want to show you a couple of these things because this is powerful, all right? Let me give you some verses. John 14, 27, Jesus said this. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace." All right, notice that, personalize it. "My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And so here's the big idea really of the day is, man, you meet Jesus, you meet peace. Meet Jesus, meet peace. And it's impossible to be in a place to have peace if you don't connect with the Lord of peace, and that is Jesus. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace." Everybody shout, "We have peace."
We have peace.
"With God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So in other words, he doesn't possess it. He is peace. That's who he is. Can't be found anywhere else. You can't go to Kroger after church today and pick up some peace. You can't go down to Best Buy, even with all the Christmas deals, and pick you up some peace, all right? Peace is only found in your relationship with Jesus, all right? Psalm 4:8 says, "I will lie down and sleep in peace." Man, I love this verse. "For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." There's a scripture in the book of Proverbs that says, "And your sleep will be sweet." Can I just declare this over you today, that you can have sleep and you can have rest? For some of us, we're struggling to sleep at night. We've got thoughts that are racing that are keeping us up at night. We're battling even insomnia. What are the things that are keeping you up at night? And the things that are keeping you up at night, I'm telling you, God is saying, "I have rest for you." And we've just got to come to the place of surrendering our total will over to God. We've got to continue to realize that God can do a lot better being in control than you and I can trying to be in control. Come on, somebody. And so I just know the more I've tried to put my hands on things, the more I've got myself in trouble. And so I'm trying to continue to learn this thing too, to realize that God does a better job when he is in full control. And I want to give him that control in my life. And let me say it this way. For some of you, maybe that you're in that place and you're struggling to sleep, can I just say, take this verse and start praying that over yourself. Start declaring that, man, I'm going to rest better. I'm going to sleep better because, God, your word and your promise is this for me. For some of you, you say, man, it feels like I've tried everything. I've tried every essential oil there is. Glory to God. But I'm just telling you, there is a peace. Yeah, man. There is a peace that you can have that only God can give, that will bring you true rest. So you need to, for some of us, you need to keep that scripture close so that you can pray that over yourself. You need, listen, we need to go from just reciting scriptures to praying them over ourselves and believing and taking God at his word. Amen? You don't have to struggle with that. God has a place of rest for his people, and I love that. And then Psalm 29:11, "The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." You're not going to find peace in the world. You're not going to find it. The world is faulty. It's jacked up. That's why the world is in need of Jesus and the hope. That's why I truly believe the local church mobilized is the hope of the world, and we've got a responsibility. You're not going to find it with the United Nations or peace treaties. We talked about that last week. Only found through Jesus alone. He is our peace. And then Ephesians 2 says this, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself is our peace." So again, it's impossible for you to have peace, you and I to have that peace, without connecting with Christ in a personal, authentic way. You cannot have peace without knowing him personally. You know, the miracle of Christmas is that God sent his only son, the greatest gift that he could ever send you and I, to die and yes, to pay for our sins, to reconcile those sins, but also to bring forgiveness and also to bring freedom to our life and to bring peace and help and strength in our times of trouble and things that we face and go through. And so, but we need to know him. We need to know him personally. I asked somebody one time, I said, "What do you feel like the definition of peace is?" And I think most kind of say this and have this answer, and that it is that they said the absence of conflict. But the reality is that's not true. Peace is not the absence of conflict. It is the presence of Jesus. Amen. Listen, let me say it this way. Peace is not the absence of something. It's the presence of someone. Come on, somebody. Amen. It's knowing him personally. And so the goal for you and I is to know Sar Shalom, is to encounter him. And so whether you're going through a storm or not, when you're in a relationship with Jesus, guess who's present in your boat? Jesus is always present in your boat. Things may be swirling around saying, man, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Listen, but it's not up to you to know what happens tomorrow. If God is in control, He's got this thing. And we've got to continue to remind ourselves who is present in our boat, who is present in our current situation and our circumstances, because God is greater. Amen? It doesn't matter what reports you got this week. It doesn't matter what's being said. What matters is the word of God, and He has always got the final word. Can somebody say a good amen? And so we just, sometimes you got to remind yourself. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but there's been moments in my own life where I've had to lay hands on my own head when I wish somebody was laying hands on me and praying for me. You've got to know how to continue to trust God in those seasons and know that He's with you, because He is peace. It's who He is. Meet God, meet peace today. So I want to give you three truths. I wanted to keep this really practical but yet very simple today, because I really believe if we get a hold of this, man, this is a game changer for our life. I think for some of us, we've been in a place where it's just like, man, I've served God or I'm serving God, and it just seems like this roller coaster and just this and that. And so, listen, there is a place of consistency in your relationship with God. Doesn't mean that you and I won't have trouble in this world. Jesus said that to us. He said, man, there's going to be trouble in this world. So, man, Pastor, we should be more positive. Man, I'm positive you're going to have some trouble, all right? You're going to have some things you're going to face in this life. But fear not, because Jesus said, I've overcome the world. And you have that peace and that rest in knowing who He is, all right? And so I want to give you these things, and I guarantee, I'm not going to guarantee on this today, that if you do these things, just these three things, I'm telling you, I really believe in my heart and my spirit that peace becomes just the automatic byproduct for you. So number one, you ready? All right, one of you, praise God. How about the rest of you, you ready? Ooh, come on. Now is this, you got to get under the lordship of Jesus. Get under the lordship of Jesus. This is a principle, listen to me, that many Christians, they don't understand. But I want to confront something today that I think is very strong and that's happening. And that is this, that a lot of people call on Him as Lord, but don't have Him as Lord in their life. Let me say it this way. Lordship, let me tell you what it means. It means to get under the covering or under the roof or under the canopy, all right, to stay under and the covering of God and His protection. Because if you get from out from underneath His covering, you get exposed. And the elements of things can easily attack you. I think about, when we're in spring or summer, the intensity of severe storms and tornadoes. What do they tell you on, what do the meteorologists say? Well, you need to take cover. You need to go inside. Get under cover. It's important that you are safe. Now, if you're a wild man like me and you like storm chasing, this is like a side note, I got my license to do that years ago. Isn't that cool, everybody? Fun fact. Anyways, so don't do what I did in that, all right? But so I went through school and some training on that. But anyways, I just love that. But anyways, but under the storm, and even whether it's hurricanes, whatever the storms may be, get under cover. And God is saying this, stay under my covering. Because I don't know what I don't know about you, but here's what happens for me, is when I come out from underneath that covering of God, I start again processing things in my emotion and my feelings. And as I said before, man, your feelings will lie to you. Your emotions will mess you up. Be careful. That's why we have to, before we make decisions, even in our life, we've got to come up under the covering of God and come up under His safety. And I have found, this is what I've found, that when I come out from underneath that, and I've done that before, man, I get overwhelmed. I get more stressed. I feel the anxiety. I feel the pressure of things. I've even said to Bethany before, I said, man, I've got to get some time in the presence of God, because I'm about to freak out, you know. And I don't know how many know what I'm talking about, but I've had those freak out kind of moments. And that's when I realized I've got to run back underneath His covering, because the storm is raging and I don't know enough. I'm not strong enough. I know He's strong enough and I know He's in control of all things. So why am I trying to control something that I don't have an anointing for? And why am I trying to control something that I have no business controlling? Only He does. He's the governor of my life. So let me give you something in your notes. You can write this down. This is free. All right. And so, let me say it this way, and I've said this before, that either God is Lord of all, either He's Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. Here's what we do in American Christianity is we compartmentalize God. So we have here's what I'm saying, we have our job, we have our family, we have our hobbies, our sports, church, God, and it just falls in with everything else. God's not interested in that. He's interested in one place, and that's being first place in your life, and then everything else comes after that. He wants to be first. He wants to be first place in priority. And for some of us, maybe we are feel disconnected with God because maybe we've come out from underneath his lordship or his covering. And so what do you do? What do you have to do for Jesus to cover you? He's got to be Lord of all. Most of us want this Savior, but we don't want the Lord part. We want the package and the things he comes to bring, but we don't want God telling us what to do. See, what's happened in American Christianity today is we like a God that we can control. And God ain't interested in that. And he is not going to honor that. Again, it's making the decision. Come on, everybody. It's making the decision that my life is going to be governed by his word. I'm not going to pick and choose what sounds good on whatever day for me. Nope. I'm going to honor his word. I'm going to do my best to live right. Listen, God's not trying to make you better. He's trying to make you holy. He's trying to make you more like him, okay? And so we've got to understand a lot of Christians, again, call him Lord, but don't live under, but they live under their own direction, their own power, their own decisions, their own control, and then we expect God to bless that. And then when he doesn't bless that, then we get mad at God and say, well, he didn't say what he was going to do, what he said he was going to do, you know? Just that little attitude, just, you know what I mean? Like, just cool it. But the problem is he won't bless that if we don't stay underneath the canopy, underneath his roof. Acts 10:36 says, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is, I love it, love it, love it, Lord of all. Everybody say, Lord of all. Lord of all. So in other words, he is Sar Shalom. You receive peace through Jesus when he is Lord of all. But if you get out from underneath his lordship, man, you lose that peace. And so it's so important. You know, one of the things I tell my kids all the time, the Mills home, I said, guys, listen, you know, all three of my kids, I'll tell them. I said, if you will be obedient to mom and I and you'll listen to us, here's the deal. Man, we'll bless you. I will take good care of you. We will reward you. One of their favorite places for dessert is Just Cream. Come on, somebody, all right? Right there on DuPont, a little shout out, all right? And maybe I'll get me some free ice cream after that, all right? But anyway, but that's where they like to go. And I'll say, guys, I said, if you'll stay under the Mills boundaries and expectations, we're going to, mom and dad, we'll hook you up. We'll hook you up, all right? But you got to understand obedience is real important to mom and dad. Now, how many know our kids don't get that all the time, all right? And so, but we're working on it in the Mills home, all right? And so here's what I know, though, that many of us, we've called him Lord and we've stepped outside from underneath his covering and we've all gotten wet. And this is what I know, that there is nothing outside of his lordship that has ever brought you and I peace. It's true for all of us, all right? And so turmoil and chaos are awaiting if we come out from underneath his peace. I want to read this, and I'd love for you to read this verse with me. It's such a great promise out of Isaiah 32. Would you help me? The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness, confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, secure homes, and undisturbed places of rest. Another scripture to hold on. Another scripture for you to hold on, all right, and to declare and to pray over your life. Listen to me. This is a scripture that I love so much. So the fruit of righteousness will be peace. Look at this part. I love this. The effect of it. The effect of it will be quietness and confidence. How many like quietness? Maybe it's been a while since you've just had some peace and quietness. And some of us, I'm telling you, even in this Christmas season, we need more of just the calmness and the quietness. And that's why I love David, the story of David and even Joseph in Scripture. A lot of people mistaken their confidence for arrogance. And there's a place as you grow in God that you can have a great confidence of what he's doing. And it goes on to say, again, my people will live in peaceful dwelling places. Does that sound good to anybody? Your home's being secure. Come on, somebody. Undisturbed places of rest. This is when we do it God's way and we stay up underneath his canopy. Number two, this is how we're got to do it. So if we're going to execute this next one's huge. It's big, all right? Is you've got to bring Jesus into every situation. In every situation. Can I just help us going into 2019 with something? Because, I know I've kind of said this before, but I want to say this again as we only have another week and a half left or so of 2018. That a lot of times we go into New Year's with great goals, great resolutions, and I'm all for that. I think those things are great. But stats tell us by February, nearly 90% of those have already failed. Let me tell you why. Because if we don't involve Jesus in every situation, we're going to fail. We're going to fail. Listen, because I'm not that smart. I'm not that strong. I need all of him, not just some of him. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? And so, in other words, if you want peace in your marriage, you got to bring Jesus into your marriage. If you want peace in your family, guess what you got to do? Bring Jesus into your family. If you want peace in your finances, what do you got to do? Bring Jesus in your finances. If you want peace on the job, bring Jesus in on the job. Listen to me. We need to, for instance, if you're wanting to lose weight or get out of debt or quit smoking or quit drinking, listen, involve Jesus. Just bring Jesus in on the situation. Invite him in. Listen, wherever God is invited, he will always show up. That's good preaching, Pastor Kyle. Thank you. I'm telling you, but because he's uninvited in areas of our life, we're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us. And constantly we're saying, well, I'm just waiting on God. No, we're called to move in the place of faith and still know faith without works is dead. Obedience, there's action to it. And love, there's action to it. All right? And so it's important. And the heart of our church is to see generations raised up to understanding that their purpose is not just to live for a Sunday and that's all, but to live out the call of God Monday through Saturday as well. Man, we always have dreamed of a church that would be more known for what God is doing Monday through Saturday than just on a Sunday. Because that's when church happens, is when the people of the church leave the facility to enter into broken humanity and go make a difference. Amen, everybody? So that's where we have to understand there isn't this thing called cultural Christianity where there's two lives. Well, there's a spiritual life and then there's the natural life. No, listen to me. The day that you experience the one life is the day that you experience true peace. I promise you that. 2 Thessalonians says this, now may the Lord of peace give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with all of you. I'll never forget in one of the most difficult times of my life, 10 years ago, during this month, during this time, I was laid up in a hospital bed in a coma, given really no hope to live. I was on my deathbed in this place. I started off with this funky, just like sickness thing. Doctors never really diagnosed it. And then found myself in a place with full-blown double pneumonia, man, tubes everywhere. Not one of my better days pictures there, but nonetheless, there I was. And I'll never forget, once God moved and as they're preparing Bethany, and Bethany was almost 9 months pregnant with her first Ashton at the time. And I'll just never forget this time and never forget even my conversations with God and what happened. But this was obviously a very scary time because we didn't know. I wasn't responding to meds, and so the worst seemed imminent that I was going to die. And so doctors were just beginning to slowly prepare my family for that. But I love the heart of my wife, and I love the heart of my family, and I love the heart of my church family. That's why you can't do this life alone, everybody. Life stinks trying to do this alone. And I'm thankful in that season that there my wife was pregnant, and we're living in Columbus, Ohio at our time, and our church family rallied around us. And you know what? My wife made the decision. She said, we're going to stay underneath the canopy. I'll never forget after I got out of the hospital, and God just did a miracle. It was a Christmas miracle, literally. God put it upon Bethany's heart to pray and believe, and told our family and our church family, believe God for a Christmas miracle that I'd wake up on my own. Off the life support. And Christmas morning 10 years ago, I did just that. God woke me up all on my own, and the recovery began to turn very quickly. One of the doctors said it was one of the most wicked things. He used that word wicked things he'd ever seen. But here's what we knew. We knew this was an attack from Satan. We understood what this battle was about. And I'm telling you, man, when you're going through the thick of things, baby, you better not be doing life alone. You need some people that know how to get a hold of God and pray with you and believe God with you. But even in that season, I'll never forget Bethany just telling me, she said, babe, it was just amazing, the peace of God. You know what it was? She was underneath the canopy. She made the decision. She could get very emotional. She had every right to be. But she said, you know what? She said, I just have this peace. And when you encounter Jesus and you get close to him, that's the peace. And listen, again, we're going to go through different struggles and everything, and we're going to learn from things. But I'm telling you, as you grow in this thing called faith with God, you'll learn to know and to trust that he really does know what he's doing, and he is better when he's in control and you're not in control. All right? But God raised me up, but it was peace that met my family. Philippians 4 says, finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it, look at this, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. Listen, think about such things. Let your mind be meditating on the word of God. And when you're facing situations, just like the scriptures, a couple of them I've pointed out today, can be yours in Jesus' name. And then put it into practice. Put it into practice. You know, when I played basketball, my coach always used to say, hey, if you practice well, you play well. And so we just have to understand that Sunday is kind of like a halftime, like a rally cry. I don't know if you've ever been in a locker room at halftime, but when I look at Sundays, it's like a halftime cry, like, let's go. Let's get us ready for the week and go make a difference in broken humanity. Amen? And so that's what God is saying to us. So it's not an information problem that we have oftentimes. It's an application problem. That we've got to apply what God is saying. And I want to even say this today because I felt this in my spirit all this week, that there are people even in here today that you are facing some tough things physically in your body. I don't know who you are. I don't know what's going on, but I heard the word of the Lord just say, tell them, I want to heal them. And we need to take God at his word. I'm telling you, the same God that raised me up off my deathbed is the same God that's present with us today. We've just got to take him at his word, and we've got to believe for the miracle to happen. And I don't know who it is today, but I just speak over you in Jesus' name, Isaiah 53:5, that by his stripes you are healed in Jesus' name. And I even declare in the weeks and months to come that there will come testimonies from many of you of God's healing power in your life in the name of Jesus. Listen, we have seen people healed of cancer in this church. We have seen people that have been healed from other diseases. Why? Because of what God is doing. Listen, he is still the great physician and he's still healing people today, and we need to continue to take him at his word and know that our God is a healer and he's focused on wanting to bring healing to you. It's not some distant thing removed. No, God is alive and he's present in our life and he's working and he's here to heal our bodies. There's people that are facing that today. You need to declare today, I am healed. I am whole. He bore those stripes for you in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. It's an interesting verse. Here's why it's interesting. Because there are 31,000, listen to this, 103 Bible verses in the Bible. So listen to this. This is interesting. 15,551 verses. Then there's a middle verse. And then there's another 15,551 verses. The middle verse, which I just think is interesting in Scripture, is Isaiah 26:3 that says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusted you. And this is the third and final thing, is you got to keep your mind on Jesus. You've got to keep your mind on Jesus. You've got to stay underneath his lordship. You've got to bring Jesus into every situation. And you've got to keep your mind. Your mind will want to go off on all kinds of thoughts, but you got to stay focused on him. And this is my prayer for you this Christmas, that you receive this in Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. So that, look at this, that you may overflow with hope. You'll give that hope to others. It'll be overflow, be working out of your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer for you this Christmas. Would you bow your head? I want to pray for you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I know each and every one of us find ourselves in different seasons of our life, but God, I'm asking you right now that we are met with peace. Lord, you even declare in your word that we can have the kind of peace from you that goes beyond our understanding, surpasses our intellect. And God, we need you. We need you. Can I just even just encourage you just right now, man, just to focus on him. Focus on his love. He is present. He is here today. His power and his love is available to you today. And so, God, I thank you today for bringing healing. I thank you for bringing reconciliation to relationships and families, God. Bringing healing, restoring, God. I even pray right now for those of us that may have, Lord, we've just gotten maybe out from underneath that covering. And today we realize that, man, I've been disconnected, and I need to be reconnected with God. That God would give you the power today to make those decisions and to move forward and apply the things that he is saying to you and I today. And I'm telling you, he loves you so much. He loves you so much. There's no such thing as too far gone with God. Each and every one of us are important to him. You are valuable to him. Listen, doesn't matter what happened this week or even last night. What God is focused on in this is this moment right here with you today. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord of your life and you don't have a personal relationship with him, you can today. You can know him personally in your heart and in your life. This isn't about religion. It's not about joining a church. This is about coming into a relationship with Jesus. And I'm telling you, you know Jesus, you'll know peace. And so on the count of three, if that's you, I'm just going to ask you just to be bold and to lift your hand up in just a moment. Say, yeah, Kyle, that's me. I want that relationship. I want to come underneath that covering. I want to be in relationship with him. And then we're all going to pray a prayer together with you in just a moment. But I want you to forget about who's next to you. This is a moment this Christmas between you and God. And on the count of three, just slip your hands up. Come on, one, two, three. In this place, say, man, that's me. That's me. Real high. Real high. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anybody else that say, man, that's me. That's me. Praise God. Awesome. All right, I want to lead you in a prayer. And I want you to mean this with everything within you. Listen, even if you didn't feel comfortable raising your hand, that's fine. Just pray this prayer and believe it with everything within you in your heart today. And just say this after me. Say, Father, thank you for sending the gift of hope. Come on, Elevate City. Your son, Jesus. I cannot live my life without you. And I need you in my life. Forgive me for going my own way. And I repent today. And I believe that you sent Jesus to pay for the sins that I committed. Come be the Lord of my life. And thank you for giving me this ultimate gift of hope. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, can we give God a great big hand for several people today? Come on. Yeah. Listen, here's what I want you to do. This is an important moment right here. Just hang with me for a second. If you made that decision, you raised your hand, or listen, if you didn't raise your hand, but you meant that prayer, I want to encourage you just with the next step. Right on your connection card at the bottom, there's a couple boxes that say, I've committed my life to Christ or recommitted. Just let us know. And then this week, I want to send you some resources in the mail that's going to help you walk this out. Listen, mission is not accomplished just because we say a prayer. All right, that's the first step. Now the journey's begun. All right, so part of our job of the local church is to help you in this journey and to help you walk this journey of faith out with God. And here's what I want to say. Don't do this alone. Don't do this alone. Don't do life alone, all right? And we invite you to join in with us and be a part of Elevate City here at our church. But if not here, you need to find a good, healthy, Bible-believing church somewhere, and you need to get plugged in. It's going to be important for your walk with Christ as you go forward. Amen? Amen, everybody. All right, we're going to prepare in just a moment just to worship God with our giving here today. If you're here for the first time, you can just relax. We don't want anything from you. We're just glad that you're here with us. And I want to remind you, actually, on your way out today, we've got a gift for you. So don't forget to stop by the hub. Our team will be there. Part of that gift's just a free Starbucks card, just thanking you for being with us. So you can have some coffee on us, all right, this week. And again, we just appreciate you so much. And then also at the end of service, once we've concluded, some of our leaders, our team will be down here in the front. If there's anything that we can be praying for you about, let us know. And because we just want to be standing in agreement and praying with you. We just know, man, where the power two or three come together, God shows up. And we know prayer changes things. And so I just want to invite you for prayer in any area of your life. Man, we saw some powerful prayer time last week too. It was great. And so that's available to you at the end of service here today. But you can remain seating where you're at. The ushers, you guys go ahead and come on up in the front. We're just going to pray. And they'll pass the buckets through the row. And you can also drop your connection card in there as well for those that have made the relationship with God, man, you made that commitment today. So Father, we love you. We thank you today, God, for all that you've done and what you're saying. And God, we just take this time, God, of giving. God, I'm so thankful for our church, God, and the generosity. God, because of the generosity, there are so many families and there's many kids, God, right here in our community, in our city, that we help, God, to provide a Christmas for as well. And God, so again, Lord, just thank you for the generosity of your people. And Lord, I just speak your blessing as we continue to keep you first in all things. And we honor you and we love you in Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen. Amen. All right. And as the buckets go by through the rows, I want you to check out this video.
All right. So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Great. My name's Craig. I am 5'11" and a half, which is tall for an elf. Not really. I wish. I love Christmas. I love waking up in the mornings and just taking in the Christmas season. a tug.
Green, red, green, red, green. Oh, classic.
It'll be a great day. My family, right now it's just me and my wife, Holly. And we do have a St. Bernard named St. Nick. We are excited to tell you about our newest addition to the family, Mrs. Claus. Watch out for her, though. She's kind of a Scrooge.
Craig? Oh, we know about Craig. We got a file on him. He likes to get into the mall in the off-season and decorate, hang lights and such. That gets him in a little bit of trouble, but it's because they don't know Craig.
Craig is a great neighbor. For example, we had this street light go out, and the whole street was dark. I couldn't get anybody to fix it. HOA, nothing. And then Craig put up his Christmas lights, and the whole street is lit again.
So, this year, we're gonna throw a big neighborhood party. You know, food, singing, games. It's for the kids. And for Craig.
I'm excited.
Got your trees. Can I get your signature?
No, these don't look like Christmas trees. Why are they so small?
They take years to grow. Can you sign, please?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I'm throwing a Christmas party for the kids, and what I ordered were elves, and that is not what you sent.
Merry, Merry Christmas, baby.
No. Elves.
I said, Merry Christmas, baby.
Someone call for Elves?
The party's ruined. I just wanted it to be special for the kids. No one's gonna show up. I mean, it's supposed to start.
Hey, hon, right? You gotta come see this.
Excuse me.
Of all the years are met with thee tonight. For Christ,
you know,
is born
for a guy who loves Christmas as much as me, even I can lose sight of what this season's all about. It's about the King. No, not that King. That King.
Ring from above. Town of Bethlehem, how still we see the light.
Merry Christmas, babe.
Through all
we did it.
Amen. With thee tonight.
All right, come on, that's funny. Hey, let's stand to our feet if y'all would. this morning, I want to read a scripture in just a moment, and we're going to conclude our service with the candlelight here, and the ushers will begin to go down the rows and help to light the candles. And if you would, as they do that, just help to light the person next to you their candle as well, and that'll help things go pretty quick down the rows here. But I want to read a scripture to you, and it's out of Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, and it's out of the Message Bible, and it says this, that here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God callers in the world, that God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill, and if I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you here on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Everybody say shine. Shine. And keep open house. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others, and you'll prompt people to open up with God. So good. And this generous Father that's in heaven. I just want to encourage you just over the next few minutes here as we join in together and sing, man, one of my favorite Christmas songs, Silent Night, just to think about this, that God has called you and I to be that light in the world. There's a lot of darkness, but if each of us do our part and we shine that light, I'm telling you, we're unstoppable with God. And so just as you look across the room, I mean, it's an incredible sight just to see this. And I just encourage you just to take this moment in, but just to take a time and just reflect between you and God this Christmas. Man, he loves you so much. And man, we give him all the honor. Go ahead, Melissa. For sending the greatest gift you ever could, your son Jesus. And God, the greatest miracle, God, we were a part of in seeing many people make decisions to follow after you today. We just thank you, God, so much for that. And Lord, and I pray that this Christmas for each and every person, each and every family, God, would be a time God, with you and with each other, God, that love would flow and grace would flow, and Lord, that we would experience, God, more of you, God, this Christmas, and God, even as we come to this upcoming year, God, we need you. We invite you into our life, into our homes, into our families, God, and we honor you this Christmas, Lord, and we do this for you, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray today, and everybody said a good amen. Amen.